Today is Baptism Sunday, and we're going to celebrate 8 baptisms, and I'm really, really excited. And so today what I want to do, I just want to talk about a little meaning behind baptism. A lot of us have a kind of a different idea. We come from different traditions, different things about what baptism is. Baptism within the church is what we call a sacrament. A sacrament is simply that physical thing that demonstrates God's grace given to us. And it's those things that God has ordained, God has given to us directly through Jesus. And baptism is one of those deals that has been given to us directly through Jesus. Now, there is a whole bunch of things that go into a baptism. We got to set up the tank because we're not going to the lake today. We're not going to any rivers. So we got a little tank we fill up with water. There's information that we have to give to people that are going through baptism. A few details that go into it. But there's other elements that are needed as well. Take a look at the video.
I'm Leslie from Big Ridge, Texas, and I am going to show you how to make an adult baptism stylish. It really is appropriate to have a baptism anywhere. I mean, you can have it in a beautiful lake. You could actually have it in a church. I mean, sometimes that's more traditional, but I prefer a beautiful swimming pool. It's a little bit more controlled, and it's a little bit cleaner. It is appropriate for the baptee to wear white because it's a sense of purity. It is very common to actually wear your dress for the baptism. I prefer that because I think it's very beautiful. And then afterwards, you just need an after outfit because you don't want to walk around at the party soaking wet. As the godmother, I can wear something as long as it's very classic and classy and tasteful. This is not the time to be boobalicious. Not at a baptism. And because the cake is the centerpiece of the room, so we're gonna make it simple and tasteful and elegant and tasty too. At any stylish event, you also need to have a stylish ending. And we are going to release some beautiful doves. The doves represent purity and a commitment to live a better life. And it's just a perfect way to end a beautiful baptism. And that's all you need to know to make your baptism a little more stylish.
Okay, so that was a little over the top, right? Well, just a little bit. There's quite a bit, actually, that goes into baptism that wasn't there. It's a little bit more than just doves and cake in a swimming pool, okay? So there's some very deep, beautiful meaning behind baptism. It's not just that stuff and simple sending some doves and some cute things to do. So today we're going to look at a few passages that are going to help us understand baptism, what baptism is and what it is not. And the first passage we're going to look at today, I want to give you a little bit of context with this passage before we look at it. Because the story of God is this, is that for God so loved the world that he became one of us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He was lived a sinless life. And he just, for the sins of the world, Jesus gave his life on the cross and he died and he was buried and then he conquered death. He overcame death and he rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of God, the Father. And the chosen ones, the disciples that he had, he gave them one last piece of instruction. Oftentimes when I'm walking with a family or an individual and they're going to die and it's that time of their life, they'll have last things they want to say, right? And oftentimes we write wills for this reason. The person has one last thing they'd like to tell the world, and it's always important, right? If you have one last thing you would ever say in this entire world, you want to make it count, don't you? Jesus had the same opportunity. And the last recorded words of Jesus, if that's the case, we better pucker up, we better pay attention and listen, because I think they're of the utmost importance. So let's look at the last documented words of Jesus. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. It says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Basically, Jesus is saying that, hey, if you are the church, and if you are the church, go into the world. Get outside of the four walls. Get outside of this building and be the church where you're at 24/7, 365, no matter where you're at. You are the light of Christ. You will lift the name of Jesus high in your workplace, in your families, the places you go, the things you do. And you're going to make disciples. You're going to lead these people to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The last recorded words of Jesus are very important. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about these words and what they mean and what baptism is and disciples. Now, it's interesting to me, I think, that much like communion and many other sacraments, all traditions have kind of their own take on them, right? You go to a Pentecostal church, they've got an idea. A Lutheran church, they've got an idea. A Wesleyan church, we got an idea. A Roman Catholic church, an idea. Everybody's got just a little bit different take on the sacraments and baptism in general, right? And so no matter what. So what I want to do, I want to try my best to stick as closely to Scripture as possible so we can understand that, so we're not just teaching a different idea, okay? Different teachings. I'm going to try and stick close to that. Matthew 3, verse 13 is where we're going to start, and we're going to see Jesus baptized. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. All right, first of all, who is John? Well, one thing, it's interesting, is it was actually Jesus' cousin, so that was kind of interesting. But John was an unusual guy. He wore camel's hair. That had to be nice and comfortable in the Middle East. He wore camel's hair, he ate locusts. It wasn't chocolate covered. He ate honey. But he had one message, and his message was, no matter where he went, it says, repent and believe because Jesus is coming. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Jesus is on the way. It is near. He preached it everywhere he went. He preached it when he was in the wilderness. He preached it in the streets. He preached it at home. He preached it when he was baptizing. He had one message, and he says, I'm not even worthy to tie the sandals of the guy who's coming. My job is to decrease, is to be less of myself so that Jesus can be elevated, so that he can be increased. And he said, that is what is important. He says, you look to me, but he says, you need to look to Jesus who will come and save this world. So Jesus comes to John and he asks John, will you baptize me? And it continues on. This is the response he got. He says, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? Yeah, I can almost see the humor in this. Hey, John, baptize me. John says, no, Jesus, you baptize me. No, you do it to me. No, you first. No, you go first. Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. You know, and just this dialogue back and forth. I can see this kind of banter going back and forth, but there was a reality. Jesus was very serious about this. He was very serious about the necessity of baptism. All right, continues on. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, Jesus, who brings me great joy. Jesus, the Son of God, comes and says, I need to be baptized. And as he comes out of the water, heaven opens up, it splits open. The voice of God says, that's my son, that's my boy. I am proud of him. And the Holy Spirit comes and lands on him and empowers him. And it's at that moment Jesus' public ministry is launched. And he takes off, and the world has been changed forever. So what I'm going to do, let's take a look at the word baptism. What does that actually mean? There's a little Greek word that we talk about baptism. It's baptizo. Baptizo, it means to immerse, to plunge, to dip, to submerge. It's like what I do with my double-stuffed Oreos and milk. We just, right? That's what it means. It means to immerse and stuff. It's a very common word, actually, in that time. It was a very common word and used in many different settings to immerse something and to submerge something. There was a guy, I can't remember who it was, but there was a guy who lived before Jesus. Actually, he has a very popular pickle recipe. And in this recipe for decades and centuries, it says he would baptizo the cucumber in vinegar. to make the pickle. It's a very common word, and it means to just immerse, and it means to baptize. So I want to help us understand today to be washed. And when John says John the Baptist, John the Washer, John the Immerser, I want us to understand that there's spiritual power behind baptism. That there is power in baptism. There it is more than cake and doves and white dresses, and it is more than just all this stuff. There is power in baptism. And I want us to hopefully walk us through what it means to be obedient in baptism. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is that, one, you are publicly standing with Christ. The power in baptism is you are publicly standing with Christ. You're making an outward expression of saying, I am identified with Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus, and you're publicly standing with him. You're professing to the entire world, so I don't care what you think. I don't care what you can ridicule me. You can mock me. You can tease me. I don't care. I am standing with Jesus. It's not just this little sprinkling. It's not just going to church. It's a decision. It's not just the decision to come to the altar. It's not just the decision privately. You are telling the entire world who you are identifying with. Look at this in Galatians chapter 3. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. If you are baptized, you are saved by the grace of God through a faith in him. Scripture goes on for you. If you're baptized into Christ, what have you done? You've clothed yourself with Christ. You are identifying with Christ. The world, we all have labels. You're a farmer, you're a pastor, you're a dad, you're a mother, you're a carpenter, whatever. There are labels. But the label that you're putting on now says, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. You're passionate about that. You are clothed and identified with that. And now, what's interesting is the things that we wear, the things that we put in front of people for ourselves, show what we're really passionate about. It's not just clothes, but it's like this. So if you are a football fan, and if I were to say something like the Green Bay Packers, right? Some of you get really excited. Others would boo and hiss and cast, just kick me out of the church, right? I mean, it would be terrible. Others would say, what about the Minnesota Vikings? Some would be happy. Some would kick me out of the church, right? We identify, and we wear these jerseys. We wear these hats. We put flags on our car. We identify with our favorite team, and sometimes it cracks me up because there are people like you would roll a ball slowly to them, and they couldn't catch it, but they're cheering for their team, you know, and it's just funny. But we identify with them. We say, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. But when we are baptized, we say, I don't need to wear a t-shirt. I don't need to say that I, Jesus, 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 because our life will reflect that. So when we are baptized, we are putting Christ on. Christ is in front of us in everywhere we go, and you're going to declare it publicly for the world. Now let's talk about where Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Now the Jordan River was the main water source for the whole area. The Jordan River was where they did their laundry. It's also where they got their drinking water. Take a picture of that. It's where they bathed. Jordan River was the main area of the whole community. It was the most public place that he could have been baptized. So he goes to this public gathering on a hot day, and everybody's gathered around, and Jesus says, I need to be baptized. I need to tell the world that I'm about my Father's plan. I'm about the kingdom of God. And so when we get baptized, we encourage everybody, bring your friends, bring your family, bring your coworkers, bring your neighbors, bring your enemies. Who cares? Because we're telling you to stand in front of the whole world and say, this is who I am. This is who I identify with. This is what I'm about. And I'm going to take that stand publicly. I'm going to take it at school. I'm going to take it at work. I stand with my Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why this is important. Look at this in Matthew chapter 10. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. I've had people say, Pastor Kirby, I don't really want to be baptized in front of a bunch of people. What better place and what better way to tell the world what you're about? That you're going to stand with Jesus Christ and declare, I am a follower of Jesus. Believe it or not, I know it's hard in this Scandinavian, Midwestern, South Dakota mindset, but our faith is not just our own. Our faith is not to be held just so closely that nobody knows who we are or what we're about. I know we like our privacy. I know we like our space, but our faith in Jesus Christ goes out and says, I am a follower, and we are going to identify with Jesus as a follower of him everywhere we go. Now, a lot of people I know, they'd say, well, I've been saved, but we got to come to the front. That's our public identification, right? Maybe you've been in those things. Come on down, brother. Come on down to the front of the church. Now's the time. That's the best Southern accent I can do. Maybe we've been there, right? I grew up in that culture too. And that's great, but did you know something? That's not biblical. That's just a tradition. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just a tradition. And it's not even that old. Charles Finney in about the 1800s started it. Commanding people, getting people to come up out of their seats, that public identification. But that isn't it. The public identification is in baptism, where you die physically with Jesus, come out of the grave and say, yes, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm about. I'm going to stand in front of the whole world and say, I follow Jesus. The second thing, when you're baptized, you are baptized into Christ's death. You are baptized into Christ's death. Now, I know that doesn't really sound super, super exciting. Okay, I get it. None of us are ready to die. It's that old adage of everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? None of us are ready. We don't like the idea. But hear me out. We won't hold you under the water too long, right? Only until we see the bubbles. Just kidding. But the idea is that we give our lives, not only we're going to publicly declare to the world that we follow Jesus, you're going to join Jesus on a mission with him. That's when his mission started. Paul asks us and reminds us this in Romans chapter 6. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Scripture says that we were buried with Jesus in baptism. In baptism, we were buried into death. Our old nature, who we used to be, is dead. It dies. We laid it to rest. Jesus laid his physical earthly body to rest. I am giving it up. And a lot of us says, Kirby, how should I be baptized? Should I be sprinkled? Should I be dunked? Should I be hosed down with a garden hose? I mean, what should I do? And now personally, I've done infant baptism. I've done adult immersions. And so I'm going to give you a little commentary. This is kind of how I view it in things. And this is my preference. And my preference is to baptize or immerse baptizo believers. That's my preference. Because I believe that there's something within Scripture that says to baptizo, to immerse. And then when somebody is of age and they understand what they're doing, they understand and they stand before the whole people and say, this is what I'm about. I think there's something powerful in that. And so that is my preference. And it means to immerse. Now, I also don't think it's a good idea to immerse an infant, so I wouldn't do that. But the reality is, infant baptism is really that promise mom and dad make. It's that promise mom and dad make to the church, to their child. Say, I am going to raise you in the church. I am going to raise you into a faith with Jesus Christ. Now, I say this because the reality is, my daughter was baptized as an infant. Okay? So what I understand, though, my wife and I knew that was a commitment we made to her. We're saying, baby, I love you, and we're going to raise you so that one day you're going to make that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. It was a responsibility that my wife and I have. It was a promise my wife and I gave. And the other part is, I just love the picture. Somebody being baptized, like you're dying to yourself, you're giving yourself up, and you're going to explode out of the water. Says, I'm new. I am something different. I identify with Jesus Christ, and it's me. I am making that choice because it is your choice to do that. It is your decision to tell the world that in this watery grave, I'm done. I'm done with the old way, and I am now for Jesus. And the beautiful picture, and this is, I get to celebrate today, because the beautiful picture is today my daughter is one of those people that is going to stand and tell the world, I love Jesus. She has made that for herself. So scripture tells us we're going to put our old self to death, but we're going to come out. It continues on in Romans 6. It says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Our old self is buried, so we're no longer a slave. We're no longer controlled by that sin. Anyone who has been baptized has been buried and put to death their sin. Now, hear me on this. Don't get me wrong. That does not say you will be immune to sin. It does not say you will never sin. It does not say you will be perfect. None of that stuff. But what it's saying is the power sin has in your life is what you give it. Because now your old self is dead, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And the power of the Holy Spirit is stronger than that sin if you turn it over to Him. You are dying to yourself. And so you decide what you're going to do. And whenever that old sinful nature in your life creeps back up on you, which is about 40 million times a day, if you're like me, and you say, hey, old self, you're dead. Go away. Shut up, old self. Sorry for those that don't say shut up. Stupid, go away, right? Go away. You are no longer a part of my life. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so those 40 million times a day where the sin and the old self pop up again, you say, old self, you're dead. Get out of here. You're dead. You have no control over my life. I don't listen to dead things. In fact, that's kind of creepy. I don't listen to dead things. There's a pastor who used to say that when he baptized guys, he'd always say, let the old man die. I love that. So when we baptize, we're just going to let the old man die. Let it go. You're going to let it die. A third thing, you're going to be raised into a new life. You're going to be raised into a new life with Jesus. This is powerful. You're going to be buried into the watery grave, and you're going to come out, and you're going to be different. You're going to be raised into life with Jesus, and you are going to be different. Part of God lives inside of you. I don't even know how to explain this fully, but the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you. Don't ever let anybody say baptism is just cake and doves and symbols. There is power in baptism. The heavens opened, descended upon Jesus, and said, that's my son. I'm going to empower him now. Watch this. And he changed the world. The power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it's that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I figure if he can raise somebody from the dead, he can handle my stuff. Are we going to allow him to, or are we going to allow the dead thing to take over? I like, so there's a guy named Sam Houston. He was the fifth governor of Texas. They named a university after him, Sam Houston State University. And I love the idea when he was baptized, Sam's pastor would say, Sam, your sins are washed away. To which Sam responded, God help the fish. But there's a beauty, isn't there? Just washed away, just gone. And we're raised to new life. You're different. Here's what scripture says, continuing on in Romans 6. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new life. Remember we said that baptizo is used in a lot of different contexts? One of the ways that it was used is when they would make clothes. They'd have this vat of dye, and they'd take these clothes, and they'd baptizo it. They'd immerse it into the color to change the color of the clothing. And when it came out, it was something different. It was new. It was changed. It was beautiful. All that filth, all that old stuff, all that old insecurities, those fears, those sins is washed away. And you are raised into new life and walk in that newness of life, and you're different. You may look the same, but you're different on the inside. You're different. Something is different about you. I have a new name. I'm a follower of Jesus. I have surrendered my life with him. I don't care. Wherever I go in this world, no matter who I talk to, you can do all that stuff. You can tease me, ridicule me. I don't care. I am a follower of Jesus. whenever my old nature tries to come back, go away. Just go away, dead thing. I'm a follower of Jesus. So what do we do? What did Jesus do next? Jesus, after that moment, he ministered and he served. Here's the reality. After your baptism, understand this. You're a minister. You say, no, you're that. Ah, too bad, you're stuck. You are a minister. I'm just a mom. No, you're not. You're a minister, mom. I'm just a carpenter, a banker. No, you're not. You're pastor banker. Pastor carpenter. I don't care. You are on a mission for Jesus. From that moment on, you are empowered. You are charged to go. It says, go into all the world. Make disciples. You're going to help lead people to be followers of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go. Your job is where you serve. Your job is your mission field. Your job is your church. You are a minister of the gospel. Your school is your church. And you're going to serve and you're going to publicly stand and say, when you're buried, when you're raised as a minister of the gospel. You're going to go into all the world and you're going to devote your time, you're going to devote your resources, and you're going to baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. So let me ask you a couple questions then. The first question is this. What is living inside of you that should be dead? Is there something that you know is inside of you that should be dead? You know what? I get myself wrapped up in selfishness. Maybe I'm still struggling with alcohol. Maybe I'm struggling with drugs. Maybe I am struggling with jealousy. Maybe I'm struggling with gossip, whatever it is. What is it inside of you that you need to let die? What is it inside of you that you are allowing power and control to happen in your life? You may think it's got the control over you, that I can't stop it, that I can't get rid of it, but the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is bigger and stronger than anything. With the help of incredibly wise, godly people, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. What is inside of you that should be dead? Let me ask you this. Maybe some of you are here. Are there some things in you that are dead but should be alive? Maybe at some point in your life you had a very vibrant faith. Maybe your faith was strong, but things along the way have died. Because something happened, some event, some situation, some personal relationship, whatever. Maybe a decision you've made. Maybe you've got some relationships, and one time they were alive, but they're dead. What in you needs to come alive? That you would see your old nature gone, that you'd see it buried. Some of you say, man, I'd love to have this thing that you're talking about. Because there's something inside of me, and I don't know what it is, and I've tried, I've listened to the self-help podcasts, I've read the books, I've even gone to church, but there's something inside of me that I cannot let go or figure out what's going on. And maybe you're trying to figure out how to have a new beginning. And you've tried everything. Do you want a new beginning? Do you want that for yourself? And you've tried it. Maybe today is the day where you say, all right, Jesus, I fully surrender. Because it's more than just coming down to the front. It's more than just a prayer in your bedroom. It is more than just showing up here. It is more. It is being a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And then you watch the power of the Holy Spirit change you. There is so much beauty and power that helps us get through it. But maybe we've never found it. Because remember the story of Jesus is that our sin controlled us. Our sin guided us. Our sin dictated the things we do. But that's why Jesus was born without sin. He lived a sinless life. And that's why he was able, and his sacrifice on the death on the cross and buried and conquering death, so we could live with that new beginning. So that we could live in faith. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated that old man. Sorry to the old men in here. He defeated that. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. But if you're in Christ, if you're a new creation, if you've done that, all of those things, all of that stuff, that sin, that shame, that guilt, that junk, it's gone. Are we living in that power, or are we allowing the power, that shame and that sin and guilt, to control us still? Because it's not in a system, it's not in a program, it's not in a song. The power is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And I'm excited that today we're going to celebrate 8 people that are making this commitment. They're going to stand in front of all of you and everybody else that they can and say, I am following Jesus Christ. This is what I'm about. If you see me, this is what goes before me. And if you want to do that, I want to encourage you. We're going to have another baptism coming up. And we encourage you to talk to the pastors. Okay, we're going to lead you through some things just to talk with you. We love to hear your story. We love to know how your life was changed. And we want to prepare you the best for a life of living on mission for Jesus to go into all the world. And by the way, your world starts in your backyard. It's not just in Africa. It's not just in China. And we're going to help empower you. If that's something you want to do, you want to have this new life, you want to do baptism, take that connection card, fill it out. Because we're going to celebrate, because today is a party. Today is a celebration. It's the greatest celebration and party we could ever think, that somebody says, yep, I'm surrendered to God. And we're going to clap. We're going to cheer. If you want to dance, I don't care. I know we're Scandinavian Madison, but dance. I don't care. Sorry for the Filipinos in the room. We're not all Scandinavian. But the reality, it's a party. Jesus transcends all of that stuff. It is a party and it's a celebration. We're going to do that today. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for the gift that you gave us that day on the cross. But then 3 days later, you conquered the old man. You conquered all that sin and that death. You got rid of it so that we can live that new life with you, so that our lives are no longer just about accomplishing and accumulating and trying to figure out our purpose, and we're wandering, trying to live our best life ever and get it. But Jesus, you said your best life is found in me. God, there might be who those people are that need to just let something die today. God, I pray that you give them just more Holy Spirit, that you would come into their life and you would allow them to put it to death, to get rid of it forever. Some of us maybe need something to come back alive because things in our life have just killed our faith. We have allowed those things to dictate us. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that they would allow themselves to come back to life in you. Yeah, maybe there's somebody in here who for the first time they need to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I've given everything. I've tried all of this stuff. And it's still there. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would spur them on and encourage them. Say, Jesus, I may not even fully understand it, but I give my life to you. By the power of you, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to follow you. And from this day forward, I'll do that. And the Bible says that you are changed. You are now an adopted child of God. Father, I can't even imagine. I thank you for that gift. So God, we're thankful. We're going to celebrate today some baptisms and surrendering our lives to you. And may you be celebrated in all of that and so much more. Amen.